a sermon on Ecclesiastes 1, 2, 12 through 14, and 2, 18 through 23. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me, and who knows whether they be wise or foolish. Yet they will be master of all which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. So also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. May you rest today in the glow of knowing that the work of the triune God is not transitory, and that God is well pleased with your humanity, even if it might be a vanity of vanities on some days. Amen. A friend and I were driving last week back from seeing a concert in Bend, and at one point we started to discuss the state of society. Now, both of us were school teachers for many years, so the conversation quickly turned to the changes in students and families and the social dynamic in the classroom. And at the core of most of this discussion was the sense of a lack of connection, a constant moving fast to nowhere, but making sure to keep score as we went, an emptiness, many transitions without meaning, a dissatisfaction, and the most heartbreaking of all, meaninglessness. This is the same word that is used in Ecclesiastes that we translate into vanity, meaninglessness. Sounds familiar to what we read today out of Ecclesiastes, isn't it? All is vanity and chasing after the wind. These few verses feel like real talk for a post-pandemic, post-January 6th, 2022 world. This is a passage which deeply speaks into the human situation. We might not like what it says, and yet we can't help but say, I hear that. Because where do you resonate with it? And most importantly, where might we hear the gospel message in and amongst all that unhappy business humans are busy with? And as the preacher today, I also must take into consideration that the Spirit has breathed these words into our ears on this Sunday, this Better Together Worship Sunday. See, we are coming together as two congregations. We're both searching out wisdom and toiling at the prospects of leaving something different for those who come after us. And yet many of us are struggling with that idea. Despair and fear and worry abound. Am I right in that observation? Have I plugged into something, hit a nerve, maybe? And am I also right in feeling a sense of something more optimistic just under the surface? You see, we are privileged to have the two other readings today to help us out of this humanity that is revealed in Ecclesiastes. We also have the work we're going to do right after this service when we embark on the first of what I hope is many, many friendship conversations to help hone those honest edges of our work. Because it is my belief, taught to me by Jesus Christ himself, that working together to expand love into the world is the human condition. Not all that other vanity of vanities we get caught up in because we are stuck. Ah, the paradox of being human. You see, we like to think our way out of pickles. We like to walk down well-worn paths and then wonder why we've grown bored, why we close in on ourselves, why we give up to despair because the problems seem too large, too complex, too beyond salvage to even begin to engage with. I want us to challenge that habit today, to push out from our well-worn paths of thought, to move from safe and secure pessimism into clear-eyed, risky optimism. An optimism that comes not from self, but from work together and in parallel with God, who created the stars and the chickens and us. The difficult part is not the realization that it's possible. That's the easy one. The hard part is to believe deep into your heart that you are in fact a blessing, that you are loved by God as you are. Because if you lived a life with that as the first step, there is nothing that can stop you wanting to also be a blessing to others by sharing yourself and your work and your love with them. You see, it's like a circle. Blessings are received because they are given, and they are given because they are received. And in that, we are also being asked to give up this idea that we have toiled for something and that something has to be kept. Just like the rich man in the parable out of Luke that Jesus tells us, the man who found himself with an abundance of crops, and instead of passing the blessing on, he wanted to build bigger barns, because that is what one does when one has more crops than space. He and we are missing the point. This is not a parable against riches or people who have abundance. No, this is a parable that is speaking directly into the problem that we're facing as a society and as a church. We have a misplaced sense about abundance. We have forgotten that abundance is better enjoyed by giving it away. Now, I'm not going to get into the middle of all of this, but I am going to get very real right here and right now and ask that you stick with me. And I'm not going to tell anyone in this room a revelation when I say that the Salem area is hard-pressed to support 4 ELCA Lutheran churches. We have an abundance of Lutheran churches, and we have an abundance of stuff stored up in them as well, including those intangible things like histories and memories and sense of place and personal connections. And what are we doing with this abundance? Are we wringing our hands and trying to chase the wind and find a way to keep it all? It has become an unhappy business, hasn't it? It has become toil and strain and vexation. Are your minds at rest in all of it? I don't suspect that they are. Have our churches become like storage units versus the place where faith journeys and ministry adventures launch from? Are we holding on to the vapors of the past in the hopes that one day something solid will come back? Are we giving up our hearts to despair because we feel we might lose what we have toiled to build? Is our pain and unhappiness because we are holding on so tightly to a blessing that was never meant to stay with us in this form in the first place? Are we wanting to build bigger barns and keep our abundance when the blessing actually comes from giving it away, from sharing with our neighbors and our friends who have new needs, new wants, and new dreams? So, over the course of that drive to and from Bend, my friend and I came to a collective understanding, a conclusion of such, of what is ailing the education system. And that ailment is not a lack of abundance of stuff. For goodness sakes, we live in the United States of America. What is lacking is something more important than stuff. What is lacking is a deep, open, loving, caring, honest, and trustworthy connection between people. We have lost our ability to both love one another and lovingly challenge one another in this desperate race to knock down our barns to build new ones. And our humanity and our mental health is suffering because of it. And so the gospel message that continues to ring from the pages of the Bible and the Old and New Testament alike is that God's intent is loving relationship. Everything else has been taken care of for us. Our salvation is given, and we are free to live a human life in a world of deep challenges and endless hope. The ask is not to live into the notion that all is vanity, but to live into the revelation that all is blessing, even the hard parts. Because being a blessing is hard work, and it's rewarding work. And you can't deeply live into your blessedness by standing in your own barn. Sometimes you need to invite your friends over. You might need to invite your friends over to help you empty the barn, or to sort the barn, or to fill the barn with different things, or even maybe have a barn dance. And sometimes, when the darkness is deepest, and the path forward the most grown over and tangled, you need your friends to come over and knock the whole thing down. Not to build it up bigger, but maybe, just maybe, to build it up smarter, different, more ready to hold the changing blessings of the current day. Remember, Jesus didn't ask the guys in the boat to store their fishing gear away and then follow him. He simply just said, "Follow me." We are not our buildings. We are not our pews and banners. We are not our financial reports. And we are not the donated altar vases from 1962. We are Christians, living and working together in a community, trying each day to be a blessing to others and to receive our blessings in the forms that they come to us as well. We are Lutherans who know intimately what it means to be a sinner and a saint. We know how transformational the proclaimed word is on hearts. and how healing eating and drinking from the Lord's table can be for the soul. We are friends here today, and we are blessed to have each other. We will be blessed by the conversations we're going to have later and in the few coming months. We are better together. In our humanness, all is vanity and chasing after the wind. But I think if we stop and engage our hearts, we just might find that the wind is the Spirit, and she just wants us to keep up. The travels are only meaningless when we aren't traveling together. And in tandem with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit at our backs. Thanks be to God for the gift of life, where we are provided the space to lament the vanities of vanity. And thanks be to God that that space for grace and love and mercy and salvation and joy is so much larger. So let's let the next adventure begin. Let's risk optimism. Let's trust God, the Creator who creates through change and connection. Let's be better together. Thanks be to God. Amen.